Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Today I'm joined by the voice of the Washington football team, Bram Weinstein, as we discuss the embarrassment in Texas. But we're looking big picture here. Was this truly rock bottom, as many people have suggested? Where do they go from here? Are there legit reasons or just excuses for this debacle? Are they headed in the right direction? We took on all those topics. You can follow Bram on Twitter at RealBramW, and you can read my work, of course, on ESPN.com. There's truly not much to say about a 56-14 loss. It was tied for the fourth most points allowed in franchise history, and it was the most lopsided loss to the Cowboys. All of that is reason for you to be pissed off. You deserve better. But what does this all mean for the future? Well, Bram and I discuss all of that, so let's get to it. So here's my conversation with the voice of the Washington football team, Bram Weinstein. Bram, they're missing a lot of guys. Well, you know what? I'm going to back up, and let's start with this. You're a fan of this franchise for a long time. The voice of the team, you cover the team. What did you see tonight? What did tonight mean to you?
I hate the score. I mean, I'll start there. I hate the score. As someone who, you know, loves the franchise like I love my family, you know, and you know, really dedicated my professional life to being in and around them mainly. The score is embarrassing and terrible. I will say, though, going in, I mean, we talked publicly and privately about it. Yeah. And I just, you know, I didn't see much of a path. I talk about this a lot on my show, that it's not who you play, it's when you play them.
Right.
And this really felt like they were on a conveyor belt into a slaughterhouse going in. And I didn't really expect them to win, but the score is, you know, for someone who, you know, loves the team and cares about this rivalry, it's an unacceptable number. It's the most points they've ever given up to them. It's the worst loss, you know. Is it the most meaningful loss to them? No, obviously. I mean, there's plenty of other, you know, examples of games that mean more than this particular one did. But I thought they'd lose. I didn't think it would be like this. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from it.
I heard the phrase, or saw the phrase, rock bottom thrown out a couple of times. You and I have covered this franchise a long time.
No, not even close. No. You know what? I would say this, like, I was way more felt rock bottom-y a few years back when Washington played the Giants late in the season. Jay Gruden was still the coach. They clearly were giving no effort in the game. They were down by a score like this. Saquon Barkley had same like Dak Prescott type numbers. I think if you're being fair about it, Dallas is rounding into form and getting healthier somehow in December. And they have a better roster than they do in Washington right now. And I think by a lot. And Washington is getting less and less healthy, it seems, by the minute, let alone by the day. Right. I mean, every update is like, now this person's out. Now this person's out. Now this, you know, it's one after another, after another, after another. I mean, David Mayo and Milo Eifler and DeJohn Harris were, Jordan Kanashik were playing linebacker tonight for them.
Well, Brandon, you know, in fairness, that's the best I've ever seen Milo and DeJohn play.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's
just the first time.
This matchup was terrible.
It was
so
terrible.
Like, you could, like, yeah, I get it. The score is awful. I hate the score, and it's embarrassing. You know, I hate the score, but rock bottom? No. Like, this is, no, this is not that, not to me, but I thought the score, I didn't think they'd win, you know, but I just, you know, you never want to see that. And that's the hard part to take.
I think the hard part for me is that, well, we're going to get into the Alan Payne stuff in a few minutes, but the offense had nothing. And that has become a really good defense, and especially at defensive front.
Yeah.
But this offense could do nothing. And I think it really revealed maybe, how much did it reveal about that offense, quarterback, Heinicke, et cetera?
That's a hard one to answer. I mean, like, I, you know, again, there's only so much you can take. Sheriff's not playing, fourth center. You know, Cosme's a rookie, hasn't played a lot, you know, in the last 6-7 weeks, is blocking Lawrence and Parsons and whoever else now. You know, like, it's a big ask. You know, it's a big ask. And, you know, Flowers and Leno have been beat up the last couple of weeks. And so I think, again, like, this was really poorly timed. I hated this from the get-go with the NFL, because invariably somebody's not going to be in good shape when these matchups roll around, and you can have outcomes like this. I mean, frankly, this happened last year with Washington, Dallas, the other way around. Dallas was in bad straits, didn't have their quarterback. Defense was beat up. They had a lot of injuries, you know, weren't playing particularly well. And Washington embarrassed them on Thanksgiving Day. And if they played them again 2 weeks later, it would have been the same score like they had at FedEx Field. So, you know, like, it matters when you play somebody. And that didn't mean Washington was outstandingly great last year. And that's why I don't think this means that Dallas is best team in the NFL, because of the score that they had out there. But I'm with you. Like, it is disturbing, because I think they had enough to do more than they did. Right. And they didn't, they weren't able to do much. And the only, like, I wouldn't even call it silver lining, I call it gray lining. When things got out of hand 2 weeks ago against Dallas, I thought Heinicke made a lot of really, really bad decisions, like terrible decisions. It was what he did after the bad plays. They had a couple of really bad plays again early in the game, and I don't feel like he was making bad decisions. Was he executing? Not really. You know, he missed a lot, and some of his fundamentals looked to get off to me a little bit, actually. But he wasn't making the type of decisions he was making before. He also was running for his life, you know, running for his life. And so I'd like to go back to what I felt 2 weeks ago. Like, I think Dallas does deserve a lot of credit here. Nobody, especially up front, is playing as good as them. And maybe it's the timing of catching Washington when they've caught him and the Giants when they caught him and all that stuff. But, you know, their defense looks like it's very, very, very disruptive. And when they play teams that have championship, you know, aspirations, we'll see how good they really are.
Yeah, and as an aside, because we don't need to talk about the game, you know, whatever happened out there. But as an aside, I did not like the way they came out with this game, and I understand wanting to get McLaurin involved early, but that play wasn't open, and you know, and he didn't throw.
It was 1-on-1 though.
It's 1-on-1. Sure, it's 1-on-1. Corner's playing back. Then I'll say that, okay, he's not open, but he also doesn't help him with the ball he threw. More than that, it was just a bad throw. And, you know, it kind of gets him off on the wrong foot. A lot of passes early on. And I understand, you know, Dallas is trying to play to stop the run. But you know what? They weren't going to win that game anyways. And that front was just way too good for them. They could just sit on the routes all night. And they could drive on the routes all night. And because they knew that ball had to come out fast. And that was about it. So we don't need to go into more of that. But
yeah, I did come in thinking, like, because, you know, if you watch them play the Giants the week before, the Giants actually moved the ball very effectively on them. Right. They had a lot of turnovers, though, which has been the problem with Dallas, is they get these tilt plays. Like, they're almost like an NBA team, like Lob City. Like, all of a sudden, like, some crazy tilt play happens and it flips the field. But the Giants did it with a screen game. That's what they did it with. They got it out of Glennon's hands fast. Granted, they had Barkley, you know, but they were getting it out of his hands fast. And I came in going, to not replicate what happened 2 weeks ago, they're going to have to figure out a way to set some stuff up either with wide receivers or Gibson or Patterson or whoever and get a screen game going. So I understand the thinking, like, that they didn't feel like they could have 5-7 strip drops and survive.
No. And they weren't going to do that. And, you know, and from Dallas's end, they knew they had to get rid of the ball quick because the way the line was and because the, you know, just the way the pass game set up. You know, also listen, there's a lot of things that game highlights for what Washington needs. I mean, they clearly need, they're going to be in the market for a quarterback. We already know that. We've been talking about that for a long time. You know, they view Heinicke as a high-end backup, low-end starter. Nothing has changed. And so, you know, we can get into all that later. Direction of the franchise. Do these last 3 weeks reveal anything? And I know, like, there's a lot of people upset about this. And I know that people always want heads to roll after a game like this. From your perspective, what is the direction of the franchise? How do you view it after this? Have they taken the necessary steps to improve as an organization to build on anything going forward?
I think so, as long as the outcome is the locker room still believes in everything. And, you know, I wasn't in the locker room or anything afterwards, so I don't know what was said yet. Maybe you can enlighten me about what was said about Allen and Payne. I often think in these situations that that's a positive, that they care, you know, that like they're really mad and they want accountability from each other to remain better. But unless it's something else, and I don't really, you know, I don't, at this point while we're taping this, I don't know any explanation of it. I just saw what I saw and know that like there was a lot of upset people apparently in the locker room, especially at halftime. And I mean, they were getting embarrassed. So I would expect if they're not upset, that's a bigger problem to me, honestly. Like,
right. And
it's a bigger problem if they're upset. So, but to, you know, long way around to answer your question, I do like what they're building. I do. I mean, I know this outcome looks terrible and, but I got to tell you, like, if anyone thought they were going to win in Philadelphia on a Tuesday night with a quarterback who'd been there 2 days, missing, you know, 8 starters due to COVID and all the other injuries that they've had, I think you're being unfair to them. So I think some circumstances have mattered here, you know, that mattered, and they need to be taken into account. Like, you could have said that, honestly, you could have said the same thing about Dallas a year ago. Do you like what they're building here? After they flamed out as a heavy, heavy favorite to win the division, and their defense was one of the worst in the NFL. And then Dak got hurt and all the circumstances just started to collect. And I think they've been unfortunate with the injuries they've had. People like McKissick, Thomas, Sheriff's been out a lot of games now this year. Heinicke was not supposed to be their quarterback. Like, they've been playing with their backup quarterback the entire season. Curtis Samuel was supposed to have a big role here. He's never really seen the field in any meaningful way whatsoever.
We finally saw Deami Brown tonight.
Yeah, their freak athlete, Chase Young, would he have turned his season around if he didn't get hurt? I don't know. He wasn't out there. Montez Sweat was out 7 weeks. Like, they have been without major performers, and if you're not willing to at least see that and understand that, then I think you're being unfair to them. Like, this is professional football. The margins are very close. If you don't have your people, you will often lose. I mean, go look at Belichick a year ago. You know, like when they had all those opt-outs, all of a sudden they weren't nearly as effective as they'd been for all of those years. So I do still believe in what they're doing. I really do. And I think people need to stay the course and really take into context that they caught a team that's peaking, that has got a lot of very, very good players, that has a much more ready-made playoff roster than Washington does, you know, with playmaking ability, you know, and I think Washington is gathering more of these people, but they don't have as many as that team does, certainly not at the quarterback position. And last year they were out of it by early December because of circumstance. And I think this year Washington fell out of it because most recently circumstance more than anything. And I know Rivera's not going to say it, but I'll say it for him. Like, and that's why I'm behind this guy. Like, I really don't believe that what's happened the last few weeks changes my mind about where they're going at all.
Do you think though, in some ways, cause they're obviously, when you lose a lot of guys, there is a reality to it. And, but is there also a danger in maybe not in just looking at that only and saying, is it just the injuries as an organization when you look at it?
No, I agree. I mean, you know, like San Francisco is a good example. They were in the Super Bowl and a year later, they had a ridiculous amount of injuries and then they didn't make the playoffs. And Washington played them last year when Nick Mullins was playing quarterback for them and they're missing 8-9 starters. And it's just not the same team. Like no George Kittle, you know, all those defensive players aren't playing. It's just not the same team. And, you know, so it's a better question to ask them now at 8-7, like when you've had a better run of luck with health and you've had most of your guys for most of the year. And I know they miss people. Why are you just 500? And so I think for Washington, they haven't ascended to where San Francisco was a couple of years ago. So it is a fair question. And, you know, we were walking out, I was talking to a couple of people, you know, in and around the team. And, you know, you do have to ask, like, at what point do you need to expect a different result, right? And in the case of this year, I think my disappointment came early in the year. I think they had missed opportunities. You know, like I think the New Orleans and Denver games were massive missed opportunities for them that put them in a hole that left them in a precarious position. What's happened here over the last month, I don't think is of their own making or mismanagement or poor coaching. I just think they've run into a reality that is set in. You have to have big time performers to win. And a lot of their guys are not here right now. And I, you know, and then you can go to someone like Gibson who did play tonight. And I was talking to you about it. I think you know, something I'd like to not see replicated next year. I think he was overused this year. And I think they asked too much of someone like him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they're, listen, I think, again, I'm not off the train or don't like what's going on here. Like, I don't like the record. And I really don't like the score tonight at all. But I don't believe that, like, this is emblematic of it has no hope. And I could see where some fans see this and think that that was a disaster, because it was, and it was embarrassing. But I'm not, I'm firmly in belief that they have the right people in charge building this thing. And hopefully they'll get a little more football luck and a lot more COVID luck for sure next year at critical junctures.
Why are you so confident in the group that's, and I'm not disagreeing or agreeing, but why are you confident in them?
I'm confident in it because I think there are some standards and practices. I think that we've seen a couple of times now that the season didn't start the way they wanted it to, but he was able to keep the locker room together, got them to fight. We typically get a very good effort, you know, week after week after week. It is very hard to win in this league. Anyone who pretends that the Dallas Cowboys just won the division tonight, nobody has repeated as division champions in 17 years. It's a very, very difficult league to win in. And I, you know, and I firmly believe that, and I see it, and I like what he's building. You know, I think they need to stay the course. And I'm sure there's plenty of things that we could say about, and hopefully they'll reconsider about how they build this team, what they're looking for, you know, maybe some minor decisions that have major ramifications down the road that they'll rethink some of that stuff. But I like the locker room. I like what I hear out of it. I like that they're resilient. I like that they fight hard. And I also think, realistically, what did you think their record was going to be this year? Because it's probably not that far off from it. And then consider all the things that's happened along the way. And then tell me again, what did you think their record was going to be this year, just based on what they had? And that's why I'm still kind of in it here with them. But this is going to be a critical offseason for sure. Like,
right.
This is a prove it, right? Because, like, I think that they built some depth. They have, you know, they have a lot more depth than they did. They still haven't answered the most important position on the team, you know, partially because they didn't land Stafford and they didn't want to use a pick, whatever. They didn't want to trade up. They didn't want to give up their assets. It's going to be a critical offseason to make a decision there, whether it's a veteran or a draft pick. And then secondarily, where does it go from here to find a few more playmakers on both sides of the ball? And I actually think defensively, I think they're actually kind of put together with the exception of a couple spots. But I think they had some bad luck with big time playmakers who weren't available to them.
Well, I think tonight there were times where I'm watching numbers running around. I'm like, this is the fourth preseason game right now. That's what I'm watching with some of the talent there.
That's what happened in Philadelphia too. I mean, they played Philadelphia and Dallas, two teams who might be in the playoffs, with a preseason secondary.
Like, well, the secondary, but this was a preseason. This was a preseason back seven.
Yes,
but, you know, so there is definitely that. What I'm disappointed in is the D line was not effective the last 2 weeks. That's disappointing. And I just think it, you know, it highlights again the need for a quarterback, but we already knew that. So let's get to Allen and Payne. So after the game, nobody really would say what it was about, although Rivera said he talked to him, but he's going to keep it between them. Payne said it was just a brotherly disagreement, wrong place, wrong time. Allen said it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out basically why, because they're getting their ass kicked. And yep. It's happened again in a couple of days, a couple of games in a row, and frustrations are boiling over. They both said that things were good and fine afterwards, handle it like men, et cetera. So that's what was said. What did you think of what happened?
You know, unless I hear that it's like something that isn't about specifically, we just want to be better, then I'm not worried about it. Like, if that's what it's about, like, if that's what they're fighting about, then that's a good thing. Like, that means that it matters and they care. Like, I read that story, what was it, last year when it was Matt Patricia's, you know, last year in Detroit, and the players had mimosas at the end of the year because the season was over, even though their record was like, you know, 5-11 or 4-12 right, or something like that. Like, it's when they don't care that I really start to get worried. And that's why I kind of go back to, there was a similar outcome against the Giants a few years ago, late in the season when the season was over, where the tackling was ridiculously terrible. Yeah. There was no effort. Saquon Barkley could have had 500 yards of offense if he stayed in the game. It was just really, really embarrassing effort. And they didn't care after it was over that they had an effort like that. Right. And that's when I get concerned. So if they're fighting over, we're getting our butts kicked and I'm tired of getting our butts kicked, you know, and I think you are one of the reasons why, and then they're going to have it out. I'm okay with that. Like, I think that's fine. If it's something else, you know, like then, you know, I'd hate to think that like we're having some kind of falling out with this group, because I still believe that this group can be really good collectively. But, you know, I'll take them at face value that this is about competitiveness. And, you know, it's funny, after the Philadelphia game, I mean, they had every excuse in the world to lose that game. And what did John Allen do? The first thing out of his mouth was, I don't want to hear about COVID. And,
right.
You know, I'm not going to hear any excuses from you guys. Like, we need to just play better than that. And tonight, I mean, they had nothing for Dallas. I mean, outside of that first series, there were a few plays I thought they were going to stop them. I mean, it was really, it was
it got to the point where I'm like, if they ever stopped them, then I was surprised. And I wasn't surprised very often, but sticking on the Alan Payne. So a couple of things that people need to know, they do get along and they have gotten along. They do not hang out off the field that much. They're different personalities, and they're different personalities on the field. Payne is going to do his own thing a little bit more, not necessarily, I'm not calling him selfish. I just think they take different approaches trying to get to the quarterback or whatever. And, you know, which is fine. They take it different. It's been effective for both guys. But I don't know what it was about. You know, my own belief is that as long as this doesn't spill over. Now it's funny, because Payne said, well, this, you know, somebody asked him about it after the game about, well, you have brothers, don't you? Basically brothers fight. I didn't fight like that with my brothers, although when I was younger, maybe I did. You know, if there was a disagreement over a wiffle ball or something like that, when we played football, when we were 12, we might have a scrape, but
you and your brothers were not losing to the Cowboys 56-14 though. So
no, we weren't. But if they missed the strike zone, you better believe there's going to be some missed a pitch in the strike zone. But, mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's different. And I get it. It gets heated. I've never seen that on the sidelines in the games that I've covered. And I've covered it. We both covered a long time, but you also know that stuff like that happens behind the scenes. We just saw it out in the open. That's happened before. I've heard of other things, even recent years in the locker room, things that I haven't written about because you don't know for sure did it happen, but you hear that it happened. So, you know, things like that do happen, but
I don't think it's unusual. Actually, I don't think it's unusual. And I won't say, you know, but when we were in breaks, D'Angelo was telling us stories of times when he played, and, you know, guys got into it with each other. Like, I could see it's natural. Like, I would find it not natural if people weren't mad about what's happened the last few weeks.
These are guys who are willing to go out and hit other men for a living and do it at full speed.
All first round picks who were told by all of us for about 7 months that they had the greatest defense ever. So, you know what? Like, I could understand where they're probably thinking, what in the world happened here too?
Yeah.
And I'm with you. If there's one thing that I'm actually upset about tonight, it's, and this is maybe asking too much, the D-line had to be otherworldly tonight for them to have any shot to win, because what was behind them, that was just a ridiculously unfair matchup. Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper, and Dalton Schultz, very good, Zeke, Pollard, against a preseason roster. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that, and the result is, in hindsight, I should have expected a result like this. I mean, I thought Dallas would win. I thought they'd win easily. But, you know, again, how it unfolded is the last thing too. Rivera brought up how the last several weeks have gone, and we had COVID injuries and then the DeShazer Everett accident the other day. And, you know, I guess we just spent the last 20 some minutes talking about this, but is that all, I mean, I don't want to say legitimate, because there is, so I think some people may, I don't know if some people like that he even went there and maybe view it, is that an excuse or is it just a coach being honest?
It's funny, after Philadelphia, he was like, I don't hear any excuses.
Exactly.
He
had the
biggest one on earth.
That's why I bring it up, that reason.
Yeah, but I, you know, listen, in the heat of the moment, after losing with that score up there, I want to give anybody a pass for anything they said. Like, It's a terrible outcome. It's embarrassing. You know, it's the type of thing that I haven't gone on Twitter after the game yet because I don't want to see what people are saying, honestly. Like, what is
that? I think you can guess.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's burn it to the ground and, you know, and this, that, and the other thing. And I just, you know, in the moment I could see where it feels that way for sure. And it's even worse. There was Sunday Night Football, you know, so the world sees it
right.
Because now, you know, now today they're getting buried and Dallas is being anointed as the best team in the NFL. So, you know, it's a double whammy of all double whammies. You know, hot take artists are, who knows what they're saying about Dallas after that one. So,
right. And they're getting buried. And then the what's going to be replayed over and over are two of your top players fighting on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's funny. Someone else said to me today, he goes, you know, if this was the, I don't know, 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock window and there's four other games going on at the same time, you'd see it, you know, in the highlights. But because it was on Sunday Night Football and because the score was what it was when it happened, now it becomes a thing. So
it was leading the site on ESPN.
Yeah, I think obviously, like tomorrow, Rivera get asked about it again. And, you know, if I know them, John Allen's going to talk to you guys, you know, in the middle of the week and probably try to put a squash to it, put it behind them because
they tried to do that.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, perception can permeate and it's going to be a subject on First Take tomorrow. Like it's going to be a subject everywhere. And there's going to be two subjects off this game. Dallas looks like the best team in the NFL, whether they are or they aren't. That's, you know, subjective. I think that they.
Well, a week ago they did not. So I think I think some of that will be less than that. But
the people who don't pay that attention.
Have they finally gotten it going the right direction?
Well, they're going to look at that score, you know, and they're going to see defensive touchdown, special teams touchdown, all the turnovers again, Dak threw touchdowns to four different position groups.
Right.
Like, and they're going to go with the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, what is this? So they're going to get that. And then Washington, all you're going to see tomorrow is that fight.
Right.
And what does that mean? And so they're going to have to do a job this week to tell everybody the locker room's fine here, whether that's true or not. And I'm going to hope and assume that it is.
And the only way they can come back from this, you have to go out and play well against Philly. And you know, this isn't about having an outside shot at the playoffs. It's about some pride at this point because you will get Davis back. You will get Holcomb back. I don't know about William Jackson. So they'll get some guys back. And
I tell you, like we talked about this last week, I love them against Philadelphia. Like I love that matchup. Let's go. If they have their team. You know, like to your question about like, is this an excuse? But what in Philadelphia was, I know he doesn't want to say it, but like who in the world thought they were going to win under those circumstances? Like that's nuts. Like if Philadelphia was going crying about like, you know, like, oh, we had to wait 48 hours. We don't have a quarterback. We don't have like half of our starters. Like, what are you talking about? Like you're inconvenienced. Oh, okay.
Well, on that note, Bram, we'll end there because I think people probably had enough. Been a long time talking with not a lot of answers that people want to hear, but it's where, listen, though, I don't know. I think there's still, I'd be curious to see how the next 2 weeks play out, because if you can finish and get a couple wins at the end and you get to 8-9, I thought they were at best a 9-10 win team.
And that's what I thought too.
Yeah. If they get to 8 wins and they get to 8 wins under these circumstances. And again, I think, you know, we'll see what they do. If they go 6-11, I think that's a terrible finish. If they go 7-10, 8-9, it's about what you probably would have expected if someone laid out the circumstances. There are no Samuel contributions. You know, Fitzpatrick goes down the opener, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not making an excuse for him, but I'm looking back. If you look in hindsight, I would not have picked him to win 9 or 10 games under those circumstances. I would have picked him to win 5 or 6. So we'll see where it goes. But again, if you finish strong, you already finished strong. If you win the next two, then you can at least remove the stench from this game.
Let me ask you this way. You had to pick at the beginning of the season, right at the end of the summer, what their record was going to be. What did you pick?
I can't remember if I picked 9 or 10 because I picked it two different times. And one time I had 9, one time I had 10. I just don't remember which one was last.
That's right.
I had them winning the division.
I had them around 500, you know, can't be this year, but like I had them around there, 8 or 9 wins. And if Dallas stinks again, then they'd have a shot at the division. And if they didn't, they'd have a hard time.
I thought Dallas had the highest ceiling by far in the division. We knew that. And it was just a matter of, my thought with Dallas was their defense would take a long time to come together, and they came together a lot quicker than I thought. And if you knew that, then you pick Dallas in a runaway, which is what they've done, because the talent was there to be that good. I just was surprised at how quickly they were able to integrate all those pieces on defense and get to this point.
No, I mean, the surprise here is not unlike what Washington did a year ago. The surprise here is Philadelphia, that they have the record that they have. You know, when we were sitting here at this time last year, I think the arrow was pointing way, way up on Washington and New York, and it was down on Dallas and Philadelphia. And look where we are a year later. This is a very year-to-year thing. It's why I really think, I agree with you. I think this game this weekend matters big time, just for a pride's sake, just to get everybody back on board with, hey, everything's okay here. We had a really bad night. we had some really bad circumstances. Things are coming together for them. Things are falling apart for us. We had a really ugly outcome, but you'll see. And hopefully this weekend, they'll have a really strong showing, win or lose. And then people will feel better about where the whole state of the whole thing is.
Right. I think if they go out and lay in a big egg, then there's cause for concern much more than after tonight, because I think that speaks to a larger issue at that point. So that's why I think it's important to go out and play well, and they can win this game. But go out and play well.
If they get their guys back. Yes. If they have as much of a full deck as they can possibly have, I think it's a very different matchup with them. But, you wait, when is it going to break? And it broke tonight. Now, can they come back from it? And I guess we'll see.
We'll see. Thanks, Bram. Appreciate you joining me. That's it for this episode. Thanks as always to Bram for joining me, and thank you as always for listening. Happy holidays, folks. I'll be back with another one Tuesday night. Talk to you next time.